Welcome to the Financial Management Magazine podcast series, a service of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants. This series features discussions with chartered global management accountants and other experts about the topics, trends and technologies that are transforming the accounting profession.
Welcome to the FM Magazine podcast. In this episode, senior editor Oliver Rowe speaks with Mike Driver, head of the UK government finance function. Mike holds the FCMA and CGMA designations and is a chartered public finance accountant. Here he sets out how finance professionals should be right at the shoulder of key decision makers across government. Here's Oliver.
Welcome, Mike.
Very pleased to be here.
You're head of the UK government's finance function, CFO of the Ministry of Justice, and a CIPFA qualified accountant. Your vision, you've described in the past, is driving the agenda and not just keeping the score. Could you explain what you mean by that, please?
Of course. We've tried to set a deliberately challenging vision for the finance function across government. And I just highlight, we're talking about 10,000 people across all of our major departments and also across all of our arm's length bodies. And in many respects, you've just talked about half the vision that we've set. So the full vision is that we put finance at the heart of decision-making, and I think that's really important. And then we drive the agenda not to just keep score. What I mean by that is that the finance function is a really business-critical function across government, and we expect our finance leaders at all levels to be leading from the front when it comes to helping our departments to make the right decisions and to make those decisions at the right time. We want to make sure that our key financial professionals are always round the right table when those decisions are being made. It's not good enough to just be in the back room completing a set of numbers, to be completing the technical annex to a major submission. We need people to be working right at the shoulder of the key decision makers across government, and that's what we're trying to ensure as we set that vision and then set the strategy that supports that vision.
Thank you. And you've got six priorities for the UK government finance. Could you talk us through those briefly?
Yeah, of course. And importantly, these are priorities that we've set collaboratively across government. It's not just something from the centre telling everyone to apply. These are strategic aims within each part of the civil service. The first, really, and it's strange because I've just talked about vision, is about getting the basics right, because this is the sort of bedrock upon which our reputation rests. And if we don't get those basics right, we lose the confidence of the people within the business to allow us to operate and support at other levels. So this is very much about making sure that we get things like budgeting and forecasting and risk management, all of those things that I believe that we should just do right and well every single working day. The second issue is vital because, as I mentioned before, we're a large organisation, 10,000 people across the whole of the civil service dealing with finance issues. And people and capability is therefore really vital, and developing that capability is something which is at the cornerstone of what we're trying to do. And what I mean by that is we need to have more confident, more skilled, more diverse and more resilient people as we go forward. We need to really challenge ourselves around the skills and capabilities and the way in which they continue to develop those skills and capabilities, and to also understand the work of other functions, so gain commercial skills, people skills, and things of that nature. So our third area is the operating model. And in many respects, what we're trying to achieve is a situation where every civil service department has a very, very similar operating model. And I can summarize it really in three layers. So it's a pyramid. There's always a classic pyramid in operating models. And at the bottom of that operating model, or the bottom of that pyramid, is transactional shared services. So we just want to get these things right first time, every time, and for those services to almost be invisible to the customer. The second level is about centers of excellence or centers of expertise. So this is where we do things which are more complicated by their nature, but we probably do them in fewer places. So a couple of good examples of these within the civil service would be we've set up tax centres of excellence. We have two operating through the Ministry of Justice and the Ministry of Defence, and we provide tax services to all other government departments so that we can much better understand and manage the relationship between us as customers and HMRC as, you know, our tax authority. We've already delivered a significant amount through that. But we've also set up other centres of excellence. So, for example, technical accounting, so that we can deal with sophisticated technical accounting issues in-house rather than constantly running to the big four firms in order to do that. And then at the top of that pyramid is business partners who are going to need the skills and capabilities to really drive forward some of the really key decisions and changes that we're trying to take forward. And they will be the trusted advisors as we go forward. The fourth area, I should say, is around insight. I believe that data is at the heart of almost everything we do. So without sound evidence, we can't make effective financial, strategic and operational decisions. And I believe very, very strongly that it's up to the finance function to take data, analyze it, and then use it to tell effective stories to support decision making. And then when I talk about the trusted advisor, we want our people to be the go-to advisors for advice and assistance across the whole of government. So we're investing in our business partner models. We've done work with the private sector to help us to define those models so that we can better support our customers. Our advisors bring, I would argue, the objectivity, impartiality, and evidence-based rigor of finance to the business. And finally, planning, risk and performance. We're trying to ensure that risk management is embedded into routine ways of working. That way we can make sure that as we consider decisions, we embed risk, performance, financial performance into pretty much everything that we do.
Thank you, Mike. And you talked about the trusted advisors priority. The Edelman Trust Barometer for this year said that overall trust had risen in the world, but the government and the media remain distrusted amongst the general population globally. Is that a cause for concern? And what is the role of finance in changing that?
So first of all, I would say it's absolutely a cause for concern. But as civil servants, I and my colleagues are absolutely committed to the principles of impartiality and objectivity. And as finance professionals, we continue to deliver our work, I would argue, grounded in a rigorous analysis of evidence and data. I think that by continuing to do this, we will begin to deliver tangible benefits to the public in the form of better value for money, projects that are accurately costed and delivered on time and delivered well, so that we create better outcomes for citizens. So where citizens can see that a difference is occurring, they will start to trust those people who are responsible and helping to deliver those services. And that is where the whole notion of trust and the trusted advisor really, in my opinion, starts to make a real difference.
And moving on to skills and competencies, the government finance function needs to overcome Brexit and other challenges that in its day-to-day work. What are those skills and competencies that people need?
Well, I think that's a really good and very relevant question. But the answer to that doesn't just lie with finance and the finance functions. It lies across, for me, within the civil service, the entire functional agenda. So if we take, for example, a very significant challenge that we faced across the public sector, not just in the civil service, the collapse of Carillion, the functional agenda enabled a cross-government approach to deal with the administration of that organization. So the commercial function, I'll start with the commercial function. The commercial function stepped forward and created a unified multi-departmental civil service response, which was supported by a very strong HR position and also a very strong finance position. So that cross-functional approach allows us to draw on a wide variety of expertise and skills and share our findings much more quickly, ensuring that we don't duplicate effort and that we have the right individuals in place at the right time. I'd say that if we hadn't got a functional approach before the collapse of Carillion, we would have found that each individual government department would have been dealing with its individual contracts. And I'm not saying that we wouldn't have coped, but we wouldn't have coped as well as we would with, you know, with the guidance of commercial and other functional experts supporting us through that. So we've been spending time investing in our people, imbuing them with the confidence, skill set, and resilience to more effectively share best practice in order to work together. So what I definitely don't want to happen, and I think this is one of the lessons of dealing with these large issues, is for functional colleagues, be they in finance or other functions, to be creating new silos of professional activity. We need to cut across much more effectively than we have in the past and support business delivery wherever that might be, might be within either the civil service or the public service.
And in terms of best practice, what can CFOs and their teams working in industry, in the private sector, learn from the approach of UK government finance?
I'll answer the question the other way around, first of all. We've learned a huge amount from CFOs and others, both in the private sector and in other parts of the public sector. But I think that where I would offer some advice is that it's really quite simple. We all have to invest in our people. So we've committed resources to developing our finance professionals because we know that if we give them the skills, capabilities, and the confidence to perform their roles successfully, they will become that go-to person. And when they have that seat at the table, when they have the skills and capabilities that are demonstrated, then we can take those better decisions. And if we take more and more of those better decisions, we drive better outcomes for citizens, better outcomes for the taxpayer, and also get better returns in terms of the overall approach, which we mentioned before, which is trust in the system.
Are there things that UK government finance are doing that other governments and public sectors around the world can learn from?
Well, I think so. I was in the position of being invited recently to Prague. I spoke to an international conference which had finance professionals from over 100 countries present. You know, not just finance people, but public servants, auditors, and finance professionals. But I think that what I would say is we just need to all place ourselves at the heart of decision making. We see ourselves as a leading functional voice as finance, but we need to continue to modernize and improve in order to maintain that position. I think there's still an awful lot we can do, and I've talked already about our vision and strategy, but we've got to be very careful not to isolate ourselves either within our country or more widely. I'll just give you two very brief examples. The week before last, I was invited to a CIPFA event where they had finance directors from most of the major police forces, and I explained what we were doing within the government finance function. And in the discussions that ensued, it was obvious that they were doing some very similar things. So we should, as government, join up better with the police service so that we can share ideas much more effectively than we have so far. I've been speaking to some colleagues in the NHS who are also doing some really tremendous stuff. So why are the NHS doing stuff separately from the rest of the civil service? We can share good experience. But also, and you talked about the private sector as well, we've been doing really great work with a number of private sector organisations who have been fantastic in supporting us in terms of risk and assurance. So I think we need to create an environment, not just nationally, but also internationally, where we're prepared to share our really good practice far more than we've ever done before.
Thank you. What will the CIMA-SIPFA joint scheme bring to the profession?
Well, I must say I'm really pleased that both CIPFA and CIMA have got together to provide a joint qualification. I think it's a real opportunity to modernise our public sector accountancy expertise and also equip our students, and we are recruiting more and more students, with essential commercial acumen. I think drawing in the best of both what CIPFA and CIMA have done in the past is absolutely vital, and I believe that it will allow even greater permeability between the public and private sector as we move forward.
And finally, Mike, how will the government finance function and profession be operating in 5 years' time?
In many respects, I'd like to go back to our vision. I would like to think that in 5 years' time, finance will be very much at the heart of decision making. We will be driving the agenda, not just keeping score. We've still got some way to go to be able to achieve that vision, and it probably is going to take us 3, 4, 5 years to get to that. But I would say what I want to see of finance, perhaps not in 5 years, perhaps sooner, but I really want us to have far more confidence for there to be much stronger financial management and control across the whole system. I want to ensure that decisions are based on robust data. We need to ensure that we have critical analysis deployed at the right time. I want to make sure that we get things right first time. We haven't got the time, the energy, or the resource to be constantly repeating things. So getting it right first time is pretty key. I want to make sure, and we're just about to enter a phase of further planning with a spending review, but we need to maximise the use of public money. And that's not just for us as finance professionals and the finance function to drive forward. We need to make sure that all civil servants are better equipped to be able to take day-to-day financial decisions. We clearly need to make much better informed decisions. Decision makers need to have access to the relevant, reliable and timely information, which is at the centre of good decision making. And we need, as finance, to be helping to shape policy far more. We can't just be at the end of the process costing up what policies might look like. We've got to be right round the table as policy developments are being considered. So for me, having confidence, making sure that we make decisions with robust data, getting it right first time, maximising the use of public money, informed decisions and helping to share policy is where I want us to be as a function, and I certainly want us to be there in 5 years.
Thank you, Mike.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the Association of International Certified Professional Accountants or any of its subsidiaries or affiliates. It is provided with the understanding that the association, its affiliates, and subsidiaries are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The association, its subsidiaries, and affiliates make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein and expressly disclaim all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.